Chapter 96. By the time Kip and Tia hit the ground, they saw that the squad was safe, and they'd been joined by none other than Tremblefist. Kip had never felt more glad to see anyone.
"Which dock?"
Tremblefist asked.
"Red, berth 5.
"Good news and bad," Tremblefist said. "There's probably 200 light guards between here and there. They've got a big house they use as a barracks. And they've signalled with mirrors that they want you dead. And everyone on both islands knows exactly where you landed."
"How do they know that?"
Fekudi asked.
"The big steel cable pointing right to us,"
Leo said.
"Oh, right. You know their codes?"
Ben Haddad asked.
"Please tell me that's all the bad news,"
Kruxa said.
"It is.
And the good?"
"I don't like light guards."
And then Tremblefist grinned. And somehow Kip thought they were going to be all right.
"Tremblefist, sir,"
Kruxa said.
"Before we go, we're not blackguards anymore. We've been kicked out. Exiled."
Tremblefist looked at him.
"Let's move," he said.
And move they did. Kip would have died after about 2 blocks of this pace 6 months ago, much less a year ago. Ben Haddad couldn't run with his knee busted up, so Kip and Big Leo, who was injured himself, carried him, and ran. They ate distance in huge gulps, trading off who was helping carry Ben Haddad. They were aided by the fact that most people were already thronging to the main streets, so the side streets were free of the usual early morning traffic. But then they came across a knot of 4 running light guards. The squad tore them apart before the light guards got off a single shot. Then they were at the wall, 2 blocks of running along the jagged edifice, and they came to a small gate, barely big enough for one person to get through. The streets were laid out according to the light beams from the star towers, but the walls were laid out to conform to the shape of Big Jasper. It made for some odd nooks and crannies.
"Throw fire in the air," Tremblefist said. "Make noise. We want to draw them here."
Kip donned his red spectacles and threw Luxon skyward and lit it. The others threw other colours into the air too. On any normal day, it would have drawn 1,000 spectators in moments. But today was no normal day. On Sunday, drafters who specialised in such things came here from all over the 7 satrapies. Most of those, however, were lining the parade route, hitting up the crowds for thrown coins. Tremblefist produced a key and opened the little gate.
"Breaker, put slow-burning pyre jelly on the lock. Make it look like we burned through."
Kip did it. While he was doing so, Tremblefist said,
"Narrow path out there, along the cliff face. Used to go down to the water, but the path fell into the sea long ago. It's a dead end. Any who go that way won't be on us."
Then, instead of going through the gate, they sprinted once more along the wall. In another few blocks, they found another gate. Tremblefist produced another key. They ducked through, and he locked it behind them. After a few hundred paces, this path dead-ended too, and Tremblefist took them through a gate to get back onto the streets. In only a few minutes, they reached the docks and finally had to slow. The area was crowded with people arriving late for Sunday, and hundreds of merchants offloading and selling every kind of good imaginable. It would quiet at noon, but not until then. More importantly, it looked like no light guards were here. Before they got to the red dock, they saw a Luxiat standing, shifting from foot to foot, and Tisis Malagos, beautifully made up, and looking like she had been waiting.
"You made it," she said. "Was that you?"
She pointed to Sky Cable, and Kip just grinned. But he felt Tia shrinking back. Tisis looked at Tia and then at Kip. She didn't look pleased.
"So," Tisis said, "are we going to do this?"
"What do we need to do?" Kip asked.
"Sign 3 copies of the contract and say the words in front of the Luxiat. That's it. He knows he needs to boil it down to the essentials."
"Give me the contract," Ben Haddad said. "One of the copies, quick."
"You're not seriously going to read it?"
she asked.
"Now?"
"Well, no, I'm not, but only because I'm shit at reading. Big Leo, read it to me. Over here."
"It's the typical Rathgari wedding contract,"
the Luxiat said, but he handed over a copy and Leo began reading it aloud to Ben Haddad.
"Do we really have time for this?" Winston asked. He and the others were eyeing the crowd, trying not to look threatening and conspicuous, and failing.
"What's the saying?" Kruxa asked. "Marry in haste, repent at leisure?"
"Hmm," Tia said.
Surely this doesn't count as haste,
Tremblefist said. It was hard to tell whether he was being sarcastic or droll.
Look, this is my deal, Kip said.
Deal?
Big Leo asked, breaking off from his low, murmured reading.
Was part of that deal Andros trying to kill us all?
It was Aram, Kip thought. Aram had to be working against what Andros wanted, I think. But he said, my deal isn't with Andros, which was a lie, but Tysis was standing right here. My deal's with the only people who can protect me from him, Tysis and the Malargos family.
Leo, keep reading, Ben-Hadad said.
Kip, Tia said. Breaker.
Oh, shit,
Tremblefist said.
What?
Kip and Kruxa said at the same time. Kip to Tia and Kruxa to Tremblefist.
You're really going to do this?
Tia said.
This,
or this, getting the hell off the island? Kip asked.
Either, both.
It's the signal, Tremblefist said to Kruxa. The light guards have control of the cannon emplacement at the mouth of the harbour. If we try to sail out of here, they're to sink us.
Yes, I am, Kip told Tia.
There was a moment of hurt, and she smoothed it down, but it didn't disappear.
I'm staying, she said. I'll help you get away, but I'm staying.
Is this because of... Kip gestured to the cable they'd come down together.
What do we do?
Kruxa asked.
What are the parameters of your mission?
Tremblefist asked Kruxa. Kruxa looked surprised that Tremblefist was giving him command.
Save Breaker, he said quickly. Nothing else matters.
No, it's not about that, Tia said. You heard her. She didn't release me.
She meant the white. She didn't want to say it, not even in front of the squad. It was that kind of secret.
I have a mission, a purpose that's bigger than what I want, and a task that only I can do.
What? What task? Ben-Hadad asked, interrupting. They both stared at him.
Sorry. By the way, contract's fine. Bit archaic. Enemy of your enemy and the like, but sorry.
Tia, you don't have to do this, Kip said.
No, she said. I don't have to, but I choose to.
She tugged out the necklace she always wore, a little vial of olive oil. She'd always avoided questions about it. Now she broke the string, dropped the vial, and crushed it under her heel.
Breaker!
Tremblefist barked.
Sir,
Kip said, turning away from Luxiats and women and...
Fuck, did everything always have to happen at once?
Yes, sir.
Tremblefist locked his gaze.
Thank you.
His mouth twitched a grin. The family resemblance to Ironfist was never more clear. But Tremblefist seemed free, his spirit open and joyful.
Thank you? For what? Kip asked.
Tremblefist said,
I'll clear those cannons. Your ship will be safe. Go in light, Breaker.
Quickly, people, Kruxa said. I see light guards, lots of them, 30 seconds, maybe.
Kip turned back toward the Luxiat who'd gone pale. Someone put a pen in Kip's fingers and presented the contracts, braced on a board. Kip signed, signed, signed.
We have everything? Tysis asked.
Yes,
the Luxiat said.
Hands.
Defensive positions, people,
Kruxa said. Kip and Tysis presented their hands, and the Luxiat lifted a pitcher and washed them of metaphorical sin. When he saw that Kip's hands were smeared with literal blood, he gulped. Kip felt Ferkudi put something on his head and saw that the young man had crafted green Luxin crowns for both of them.
You are here of your own free will?
The Luxiat asked.
Yes,
Kip and Tysis said quickly. Kip realized he'd barely even looked at her since he'd gotten here.
Have either of you promised yourself to anyone else?
No,
Tysis said.
No,
Kip said, a heartbeat late.
Touch your right hands and entwine your fingers.
Wait,
Ben-Hadad said. He waved his hands and almost fell over, having to hop on his good foot to regain his balance.
A Rithgari wedding can be considered illegitimate and annulled if there's no fire. Water, wine, and fire to sanctify a marriage. You need them all.
The whole squad started looking around for a torch.
How hard could it be to find a torch in the middle of 1,000 merchants? Oh, hells,
Kip said. He opened himself to the sun and raised his own left hand, letting power roar through him. Fire gushed out of his hand skyward. He must have been a bit tense, because it leapt out much farther than he meant, a pillar of fire 10 paces high for a moment, before he tamped it down.
Flesh protuberance,
Ferkudi said.
Ferkudi!
Kruxa said.
Position, and shut it! Lightbringer indeed,
Big Leo murmured.
On with it,
Kip said.
If the Light Guard hadn't known where exactly to find him before, they certainly would now. The Luxiat picked up the cup. He'd apparently dropped it when Kip painted the sky with fire. He filled it from a skin with wine.
The wine is Orholam's gift. The shared cup signifies the joys and sorrows of the life you will share.
He guided them to each drink, the cup held awkwardly in their clasped right hands.
Even the awkwardness you feel is an emblem of your new...
Just drink and say the oath, Cruxa said.
Kip Guile, Breaker,
Tysis said, needing no prompting from the Luxiat, staring Kip in the eyes.
Your life shall be my life. Through all the dawns and noons and dusks and nights Orholam grants us. My light is yours. With my body I thee worship.
Kip blinked for a moment because he could tell she meant it. Tysis Antonia Malagos. Oh, Orholam, it was like he was outside of his own body. He saw the Light Guards pushing through the crowd. They were within musket range now.
Your life shall be my life. Through all the dawns and noons and dusks and nights Orholam grants us. My light is yours. With my body I thee worship.
And it was done. Kip had bound his will to this. It was finished. He was married. Alaxiat said quickly,
May there never be darkness between you. I declare you husband and wife.
Go! Cruxa shouted. Go, go, go!
Kip saw Tia squeeze her hood shut, covering all but her glistening eyes. Then she turned her back, and the black and white discs on her cloak rolled together, eclipse and darkness. Kip and Tysis ran the other way. Big Leo had slung Ben-Hadad over his shoulder and was pounding down the dock already, barely slowed by the weight. Kip followed, but it was as if the world had been drained of sound. They sprinted down a dock, and the Light Guards ran after them. Kip poured red Luxin across the width of the dock in a wide swath, even his pounding heart silent in his ears. The Light Guards pulled up short in front of the red Luxin, none of them drafters, none of them willing to die. They fired their muskets, splintering wood around the running squad. Kip turned and drew his pistol, but saw the crowd of innocents behind the Light Guards if he missed. He holstered the pistol and ran up the gangplank to the galleas. The Light Guards had found sheets of wood to throw on top of the red Luxin, and they charged across. Finally, gathering their courage, or thinking Kip was too far away to throw more red Luxin, the Light Guards ran the rest of the way down the dock, rapidly closing the distance to the departing ship. Kip stood on the stern gallery and shot the pistol at the Light Guards. He threw Luxin, the squad shouting at him to get down, calling him insane. One word worked its way through. Tia. Kip looked into sub-red, and Tia moved among the Light Guards. She attacked no one, merely bumped an elbow here just as a musketeer fired, extinguished a slow match there, tangled men in the lines on the deck as they ran about, causing several to fall. Kip had been throwing death right at her. Cruxa pulled Kip down and behind cover, berating him for risking himself when there was no longer any reason to do so, but Kip didn't even hear him. Tia. Their ship passed, the cannon tower guarding the bay, and they saw the Light Guards flashing mirrors at it, signalling, no doubt, to fire. But the cannons were silent. Silent until, suddenly, the entire battery blew up in a concussion that shook the earth and sea. Explosion layered on explosion, cannons and muskets and a falling wall, card after card. But they passed as fast as he saw them.
Tremblefist, no, Kip said.
And oddly, at the sound of his own voice, Kip was back. He could hear again, and his eyes lost the intense, singular, war-blind focus. He saw his squad, Cruxa and Farkuri, and Ben-Hadad, and Big Leo, and Winston, Tia gone, and in her place Tysis. And he saw himself, madly dealing death to enemies he didn't have to fight at all. And he saw his two faces, child and warrior, man and leader. Kip, who wanted to sit and cry and be taken care of, and Breaker, who was responsible for taking care of others. Caris said that to take up the latter didn't mean to deny that the former existed. Kip took a deep breath, then he popped his neck to the left and the right, and when he turned, he was Breaker.
Breaker, my lord, what are our orders?
Cruxa asked.
This ship is going to Wrath, but when it lands, we won't be on it, Breaker said.
What?
Tysis asked.
Ben-Hadad, you've been on skimmers and sea chariots. Design one big enough for the squad. Tysis, you have people aboard?
Of course.
But what are you... Then it's your choice. You can come with us, or you can take that signed contract to your sister Irene without me. Our alliance and our wedding stands.
but I have no intention of getting trapped in Hrothgar. I will help your family, but I won't be its hostage. I'll help your family by defending your satrapy. We're going to Blood Forest. We're going to stop the Colour Prince. The mighty are going to war.